God's grace, God's peace, and God's mercy be with each and every one of you. Amen. As I said before, we're going to continue what we started last week on John the Baptist. Now, I read a little bit about it today in the gospel lesson, about who he was and what he did. How many of you can remember? What did John the Baptist wear for clothing? Yeah, I think maybe the hide of a camel. Nobody's wearing one today. I was hoping somebody would come with a coat of camel's hair, but nobody did. And he also had a leather belt. Back then, it would have probably just been a strip of leather. How many of you are wearing a belt today, a leather belt? Oh, we might have a few more, right? How many of you would have pants that fall down without it? Okay. All right. And what was his diet? He ate honey, but you're forgetting the real good protein part, the grasshopper part, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of an odd fellow, isn't he? Kind of odd. It's kind of like one of those guys you would think would be, you know, as you drive down through the inner city of some place like New York, he'd have a sign, repent or be destroyed, something like that, right? Well, his message was what? Repent, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with fire, was his message. You know, John the Baptist really teaches me a lesson in life that's really important. It's not what's on the outside that really matters. What really matters? What's in the heart? Now, what's in the heart will make a difference to what the outside looks like, won't it? Obviously. But he just reminds me that you can't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. How many of you have seen, now, it was on last night, but it's been on a couple times already, A Wonderful Life? Yeah, George Bailey, right? George Bailey has this big dream in life of being this great businessman, architect, right? And his whole life is about this dream. And he never gets to accomplish it because he's got to take care of all these people. It bothers him, though. And then one day, I think it's his uncle, you know, that works for him, has to deposit some money, and it gets stolen by George's adversary. And the deposit doesn't get made, and the auditor comes, and George is in big trouble. And so what's in the heart starts to build, and there's more anxiety and more stress. And what's the holiday that comes up? Christmas, isn't it? Does George have a wonderful Christmas? He ends up with a wonderful Christmas, but he's got to learn a big lesson, doesn't he? It's when it's in the heart that matters. And what's the state of his heart? Stressed out, full of anxiety, unhappiness, selfishness, all of these things. He gets all upset, he gets mad, he yells at the little girl's teacher on the phone, comes home, yells at the kids, yells at his wife. You could tell the heart's not in the right place until he learns the lesson the whole story is about. It's what's in the heart that matters. I can remember my mom one Christmas, and I was standing by the Christmas tree. We had opened some presents, and all this chaos is going on. And I grabbed a present for my mom, and I was taking it over to her, actually. She was sitting there. And she had tears in her eyes. It's the first and only Christmas I ever saw her cry. And I thought they were tears of joy. They weren't. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, I asked her about that. I said, what made you so happy during Christmas? And she said, what makes you think I was happy? I had 4 kids to take care of, and 2 of them were handicapped. And your dad was working really hard at that stage of your life, the life of the family. What makes you think I was happy at Christmas time? I said to her, isn't everybody happy at Christmas time? Do you see? I bet you some of you are like this. Maybe you don't come to tears, but sometimes Christmas is a time when what's in our heart starts to come out. How many of you would like to have a good Christmas? Joyful, happy, and rather shed tears of joy rather than tears of stress, anxiety, trouble. I would rather be so joyful tears come out of my eyes. Well, how's that going to happen? Only one way, a change of heart. What is the message of John the Baptist? Repent, have a change of heart. One is coming. I'm not capable of even stooping down to mess around with his shoes so that he can wear them. I baptize you with water. He comes to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is what changes the heart. My first point, if the heart ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know how that went before, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But if your heart ain't happy, nobody's happy. We need an attitude check. These 4 weeks before Christmas we call Advent are for that purpose. That's why they're there. People say, well, why do we've got a season called Advent? 4 weeks. What's the purpose? And I look at him, I say, because your heart ain't in the right place. And you want to enjoy Christmas, don't you? You need not only a gut check, you need a heart check. It's true. We all do. This is a time for self-examination. That's what repent means. Self-examination. Where is your heart at? It's easy to get lost in these days. There's so much to be done. The shopping, the decorating, the list goes on and on and on. And meanwhile, you go to work, and you got to handle the stress there. The kids need you. The grandkids need you. The church needs you. Everybody needs you. But you can't be who you need to be unless you're right inside. You need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. You need what repentance and self-examination is supposed to lead to. Close your eyes, if you would, please. This is scary. Some of you won't want to do it. Close your eyes. Look down deep into your heart. What's there? What do you find? What's going on? What's happening? Is the devil at work? Are demons dancing? You got an issue you're confronting, even this week, maybe today, and it just won't go away. You're not focused on the joy that God brings in Christ Jesus. Look and see it. Now open your eyes. Before I go on a trip or on a vacation, I know I'm going to be driving some distance. You know what I do? I open the hood of the truck and I check the oil. Do you know why I do that? What happens if you run out of oil? Come on, ladies. The engine don't work no more, right? That's exactly what happens. You'll check the oil before you go on a long drive. How come we're not better at checking the heart before we journey into Christmas? Folks, if you want to enjoy Christmas, you got to do a rough and tough and hard thing. You got to check yourself out and be honest. It's not easy to open up closets where you know it's dark, is it? You don't know what's going to come tumbling out. But until you do it, Christmas isn't going to be what Christmas is supposed to be, and the heart's not going to change. My second point, don't follow your heart, save it. Don't follow your heart like the rest of culture and society and the world is telling you to do. Just follow your heart. It'll lead you where you're supposed to do. Don't. Rather, save it. Save it. That was John's message. Give up the former way of life. Repent. You want to do something for yourself this Christmas? Because you know you want to do stuff for other people, meditate. Open up the scriptures. Find a good devotional booklet, even if it's Portals of Prayer. Preparing for Christmas was a devotional I picked up at the Christian bookstore here last year. I saved it for this year, and I'm reading it. And this was the point. Don't follow your heart, save it. Meditate on what the scriptures say, but meditate also on the goodness of God, because when you go into your deepest, darkest closets of your life, there's somebody with you, holding your hand. It's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He goes there with you because he doesn't want you to find those demons and be alone. Remember Christ on the cross, Christ's resurrection, and his descent into hell was so that you know God has been victorious over evil, the devil and all his demons. The victory's been won, folks. Do a heart check. God goes with you. Drive out the demons. Have a change of heart. Give up the former way of life. Other parts of the scriptures, it said, John preached to the common people. He said, you need to share. He said to the tax collectors, you need to be honest. He said to the soldiers, you should be content with your pay. That's how you're going to be happy in life. That's how you're going to be content. How do you get there? I come to baptize you with water, but he will come like we found today, and he will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And that changes lives. As faith enters into the heart, and the Holy Spirit is active and works with each and every one of you great and wonderful ways. Only a two-point message, but I want to close with a neat story that I experienced a few years ago during a Christmas program. You know how they kids do their Sunday school program. Ours is coming up next week. One of the little boys named Ethan had that part, you know, and there were shepherds in the fields at night watching over their sheep. And lo, an angel came and said, "Fear not, For I bring you good tidings, a great joy. Well, the kid couldn't remember glad tidings, is the way it was, glad tidings. And his dad had worked with him on the passage and had explained that this good tidings or glad tidings meant the good news of Jesus come into our lives. That's what it really means, the good news. And of course, we know the good news as God's gift of Jesus into our lives. So that the little boy was up there and I was watching him, and I'm sweating bullets for this kid, Ethan. And he stood there and he stood there, and I could hear some of the kids, you know, glad tidings, glad tidings. And the kid looked up and he said, a good Jesus has come. A good Jesus has come. And he couldn't remember it anymore, and so he said, to save us from our sins. And he said, I think I'm done now. And he sat down. I think I'm done now. And he sat down. That did a lot to change my heart as we got ready for Christmas. I thought about that, and the explanation of glad or good tidings made sense to me like it hadn't before. We have a good Jesus that's come to save us so we can come into Christmas with much joy. I'll give you that to take home with you as you go home today and work towards sharing the good news, not only with yourself, but with your family and your friends, and those who need to hear it everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.